I feel like if we could, you know, say one thing out there to realtors who sell the volume or the amount of real estate that we've sold and still sell, is to protect your mindset, because you can't have chaos. You can't have a chaotic mind if you're going to do what we do on a regular basis. Like, you have to have peacefulness and mindfulness. And I feel like that's
something. Yeah, I mean, you can operate out of chaos, but you're not going to have... Yeah, you're not going to have like longevity. At some point, you're going to reach a point where you're completely depleted. And, you know, a lot of times we like to just talk about our, you know, oh, well, we're outside external factors that might be causing that, when really we have to look inward.
That's right. And that's what
how we're handling those external factors.
Took me a really long time to realize that, and you got there before I did. Honestly, you started to set boundaries to protect your peace in that time when we were selling, I mean, you know, tens of millions of real estate, or however you say that. I don't know how you say that. Anyway, but when we were selling that, you were the one that was like, I got to put some boundaries up. Like, I can't work this amount of leads, and I can't do this anymore. I've got to have family time. I've got to have me time. You got to rejuvenate. And I think that I didn't get that early enough on. I just wanted more and more and more and more and more. And it wasn't even so much about the money as much as it was like just being the best at whatever we were doing and selling the most. And I think that, you know, you were the one that kind of instigated that healthy boundary of, you got to take care of you. Because by not doing that, when you brought that to the table back then, by not doing that, I descended into a very negative headspace, because the chaos in my work environment bled over, obviously, into my family environment and into my personal life. Because I was always under so much mental stress and strain. Everybody was fighting. Honestly, the reason that I left my law practice was because of that. Because nowhere brought peace. Everyone was fighting. It was such a negative environment. Sue Happy, divorce, whatever. Nobody was in a peaceful mindset. It was just always very negative. And it became, in the beginning of real estate, it wasn't like that. It was fun and it was happy. And there were moments, obviously, but as I became more successful and you joined me and we became more successful, it became chaotic and very negative. And I allowed that to affect the way that I dealt with clients, the way that I dealt with other realtors, the way that I dealt with my family, my children, my spouse. I think that you helped me realize that if I would protect my mind and focus on the boundaries of having me time, you cannot pour from an empty cup for that long. And I mean, really, you shouldn't pour from an empty cup ever, but I did it for years, years and years and years. I mean, this is my 8th year in real estate. This is your, what year in real estate?
It's my, I was licensed in, I mean, I always say this. I was licensed in late 2016. Didn't start working. I mean, I think I did 2 or 3 deals in 2017. Didn't take the full plunge until 2018 with you. So, but as far as from the date I was licensed, this is my 7th year, and I'm feeling really good about that.
That's exciting. So I like 7 is a good number.
The 7, for those of you who don't know, is a very special number, and you should pay more attention to the times that you see 7s, just scripturally and everything. It's a number of completion, and it's a number, so I don't know, maybe it's not good. Is it the number of completion?
I mean,
I'm saying a lot. I'm like,
look, year 7 was,
it did my last year of real estate work.
Year 7 was a dumpster fire for me. If you can imagine a dumpster, if there's anything worse than a dumpster fire, so I don't want to speak that in your life, but so I'm going to hope that that number 8 means something.
I just like number 7 because it's like, you know, it's God created the whole world in 7 days, and there's so many 7s throughout scripture that are just God's sovereignty and all that. So anyway, it's my seventh year, Brittany. Anyway, continue what you're saying.
Well, the reason I was saying that was I find it very wise and very mature of you. I mean, you're significantly younger than me, but you were able to bring that to my attention in year six, I guess, or I guess, no, it was the beginning. Yeah, it was year six that you were like, hey, we got to take a break. We got to start having some us time. We need to set some boundaries. Like, we have enough business. And I'm not going to be working leads anymore. I'm not going to be doing Zillow. I'm not going to be doing Realtor.com. Whatever it was that we were throwing at the wall at that point. And you were like, we have enough. Like, we don't need to continue to work ourselves to death mm-hmm. like this. And I was like, work yourself to death more. Like, I don't care about your health. I didn't say that, but essentially that's what I said. Although I did try to hire another.
Yeah, I guess this would have been year five because technically last year was year six. So last year,
okay,
because it's early 2023 already, which is freaking crazy.
So this is the beginning
of the seventh, my seventh year, eighth. So it would have been like my fifth year and your sixth year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you tried to say, so my point is that like right now, this morning alone, I'm dealing with a situation where I have a buyer's response that does not want to use a licensed contract. I mean, I'm sorry, the sellers don't want to use a licensed contractor, right? And we're having this mm-hmm. whole argument on the definition of a handyman versus a licensed contractor. Of course, in my experience, I've always, in every real estate transaction, I usually require, if it's something that a licensed contractor should be, do it, an electrician, a plumber, a licensed HVAC, a licensed roofer, whatever it is that requires a license, I prefer that over than someone just putting in there that a handyman is going to do the repairs, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I mentioned that to you this morning, because I've been dealing with that now for like 2 hours, and when I was going through that situation this morning, when I mentioned that to you, you're like, oh, I just had a really interesting experience with a handyman versus mm-hmm. a licensed contractor. Mm-hmm. So do you see that too, that how important that is?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Sorry, I'm like, how did we just jump? I don't even know what we were talking about before this, but this is a great topic.
Okay, well, never mind. We can just start over and start building something else.
Good. We were talking about mindfulness. We were talking about just mindfulness and having your mind has. You have to have a sound mind have these phone calls, have these conversations, speak to your client, speak to the agent on the other side. You have to have clarity. Well, you cannot have chaos, because if you have chaos in your mind, you are not going to be able to communicate properly. Mm-hmm. You're going to allow you're going to allow yourself to be offended mm-hmm. or to even think somebody has an attitude with you when actually they don't. Or 100%. To even just take, you know, like one of the things I always try to remember and I'd like pull myself out of, I think we did pray about this for sure. I remember saying this. But like being able to pull yourself out of a situation and look at it from above as a whole, you know, it's like when you're watching a movie and you're like, don't go down that doorway. Like, no, don't open that door. That's really bad. It's like, no, they're in there. They're in the movie. You're looking at it from a different perspective. It's like, if you can practice that every day of your life of like, looking at someone and looking at a whole situation, even from a bird's eye view versus from being in the mix of it, it helps so much. Anyway.
Well, you have to get your mind out of it. So to go back to that, just to hit on that point one more time to segue into the next conversation, because, you know, my ADHD, I got like 15 things I want to talk about during this segment. So this recording, Chris is going to be like, I'm going to have to edit y'all a lot. Oh. Sorry about that. But the one thing I wanted to say was, when you come from a place of peace in your own spirit, what I didn't get back then that you were trying to teach me about the mindfulness part was I was looking at it with not in the bird's eye view. I was looking at it in the midst. And I was getting offended. I was putting my emotions in it because I wanted the deal to succeed for selfish reasons or whatever it may be at that point. I didn't take a step back to mediate from a place of calmness and peace in my own spirit so that I could figure out what both parties needed and be able to come to a resolution that made both parties feel like they were heard, they were seen, they were valued. And that's the point, is that we are truly mediators. We're counselors, we're mediators. And if we are not in a place of health, and mindfulness mm-hmm. and healthiness in our spirit, our mind, and our bodies, that takes a toll on you. The more that you give of that energy to try to resolve a situation like that, which, I mean, the handyman versus the licensed contractor, right?
Like, and how you communicate with the other, with the agent on the other side is going to be how absolutely. That agent communicates to her, to their right. client. Because if you have a healthy communication, then they're not gonna turn to their client and suddenly create this unneeded buyer seller rivalry that so many people love to create. They're gonna go to their other client and say, "Hey, look, no, this agent is actually really good, and she actually explained it this way, and I think that that's really helpful." Like, I love when an agent does something or explains something to me in a way that I can then take to my client. Like, take that gem to my client and be like, this is actually what the listing agent said, and it's in a way that they can understand. So it's just like, it all matters. But
well, that's what I did this morning. I went to the agent. I explained heart, word, every moment of what my buyers were feeling in another situation. And then I was able to explain that to the seller's agent, because the seller's agent was offended, felt like they were being taken advantage of, the mm-hmm. seller, right? Mm-hmm. And so the seller's agent conveyed all of that to me. And then I brought them the buyer's message. And once they both realized that they both felt very taken advantage of, and they both felt like they were being it was a place
they
of
had
hurt.
Similar feelings.
It was
they
a place
both...
of hurt. They felt yeah. like they were both being ramrodded, and it's like when I brought that together and we realized we had common ground there, they both started to have sympathy and mm-hmm. empathy for the other mm-hmm. party. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to work it out. It took me 2 hours this morning, but that's right. okay. You know, and that...
Well, and it's worth the time.
It was.
And too, and like when someone gives you information too, it's worth the time to sit and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to share with the other party versus like what is additional fluff that doesn't need to be shared? Because I'm an overshare and an overtalker.
Same.
And so a lot of times I would catch myself giving details that I was like, wait a second, hold on. I'm actually like, I think I'm making the situation better, but really I'm just venting.
Like, hindering it because
I'm really just giving my soul feelings, you know, right. whatever. Like, it's so... taking that extra time. Chris and I were just talking about that. We were like, man, whether you believe in Jesus or nothing or whatever your spiritual practice is.
I'm sorry. That was...
most spiritual practices talk about this mindfulness Zen, and just Buddhist. taking that extra time to literally take a step back and think about what you're going to say. Mm-hmm. Think about what you're going to do. Think about how many situations would be avoided altogether. Bad situations would be avoided altogether if we all just literally like thought, took a second to just like think.
Well, think
ask
out.
Your whatever you want to say, ask the Holy Spirit or ask your inner self or ask your whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if we all just asked whatever that still small voice is, whatever you think that still small voice is, if we all just took a second to ask that still small voice as opposed to just reacting, oh my gosh, like,
well, I just think
it'd
that
be a different world.
It would 100% be a different world. And that applies obviously to every walk of life and every type of profession, but especially in real estate.
Yeah.
If you can learn to protect your peace and come from, like, how many times do you enjoy working with agents that are just calm? Nothing ruffles their feathers. They're like, you know what? It's going to work out. We're going to figure this out.
It's the best.
But I would get so...
My one deal that I have right now is with an agent that is like that. It's awesome.
Oh, I love those agents. They're few and hard to... I mean, they're few and between, their whatever that expression is.
we get it.
They're hard to find because I think that so many realtors get jaded, because one of the things that realtors have to give up before they know a lot of times if the client is a worthy endeavor, not because they don't want to help them from a personal standpoint, but a professionally wise decision, is our time. We give up so much time mm-hmm. and invest so much time in people. And so I think a lot of times that people are realtors that do sell a lot of real estate become bitter in that sense. And then that bitterness gets in their mindset. And so when there is a little bump in the road or there is a problem, they just want to fight it out with the other agent or fight it out with their clients. And like you said, if we just took a moment to take a step back and think through the spiritual aspect of calm, just peace and mm-hmm. calmness in our own lives, mindfulness, being aware, mm-hmm. this situation really really doesn't involve you. Let's think about it, right? Take yourself out of it and put yourself in their situation and then mediate between the two parties to come to a resolution that benefits everyone. And I think that's where a lot of agents get lost, because they get worked up or they get stressed out or they get mad or they get angry. And how we communicate to other agents matters so much. Like you said, the deal that you have right now, you know, it, you're not scared of working that out with them or talking through any bumps that come up in the situation, because they're calm and they're peaceful and they've got their life figured out and they're not gonna die if this one deal, you know, doesn't happen, right? And so I think that what I wanted to mainly focus on was, if you're going to be in a high-paced career like real estate where you never know what you're going to get, I think it does matter to, from experience, having been a top realtor in our market now for six years, it matters that you do take that time, because other agents noticed in me when I was in a chaotic point. Does that make, at a chaotic point, not only in my personal life, but in my business. And I think that that went, the more calm that I was, the more mindful that I was, the more at peace. I don't know if it's meditation. I don't know. I mean, like you said, you could be a Jesus follower, you could be Buddhist, you could be whatever religion it is, Hindu, I don't know. But whatever it is, where you take a step back and you sit back in your mind and you say to yourself, okay, like, let's take the external circumstances out of the situation and see how Britney's spirit or Britney's soul is going to deal with this, you know. And I think that helps tremendously, taking yourself out and having that bird's eye view that you were talking about earlier. So I just think it's important to practice that. Like, even if it's a 10-minute or a 2-minute meditation series, a podcast on that, or I think Netflix even has like a series on meditation. I think it's important to practice mindfulness, especially in a career like real estate.
It's just so personal, and you can, you know, we all operate differently. We're all wired differently. And some of us are actually wired in such a way that we feel a lot. And it's actually, people will tell you that's more of a curse than a blessing, but it is actually a gift to be able to feel, but you do have to understand how to
control it.
So a lot of realtors in this line of work, you kind of have to be, a person who has mercy for other people and who has empathy. Understanding and empathy. And so we're just kind of natural feelers. I feel like the ones who have longevity are like natural feelers, and it can get intense because you are feeling so much. You can be feeling the emotions from every single person too. So,
well, you feel that
being able to say what is even mine, like what part of this is even mine, like,
right? No, it matters.
I'm feeling everything. But
I
anyway.
Feel all the things. I mean, because I'm an empath, and we've talked about that before. You are too. I mean, we want people to be happy, and if there's any disappointment associated with the deal, even if it has nothing to do with me, you know, somebody had a money judgment against them that we could have possibly known, we couldn't have resolved it, we couldn't have done anything about it, and so you call the seller, and it's not my fault, right? But I'm the bearer of bad news, right? And so I've had to take a step back now in those deals and really pray about, have a moment of peace and quiet before I address that situation with the seller, because I would take that. You know this about me. You would tell me this all the time. You'd be like, Brittany, this is not your fault. You can't control this. Like, why are you taking the burden of the disappointment and the sadness or whatever they're going to feel? That's not yours to own. That's not yours. Like, you are the messenger, right? You're not, you couldn't, there's no way this could be fixed. Now, sometimes there may be things that I could have done, but you were the one that kind of helped me take a step back and say, okay, Brittany, like, I have to deliver this news, but there was no way that I could have avoided this. I mean, there's no way that I could have controlled this situation.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you have to just do what, that's a really good, this is, I feel like I could talk about this for forever, but like, knowing to, this took me probably 4 years. And like, so I mean, like, maybe I perfect it and it's still not perfect, but I feel like I really put it into practice last year and maybe the year before. But knowing when to share what information with what party, like, that is like insane, because I used to be like, you know, okay, this is just an example. I'm just going to like make a fake scenario out.
Wow, I've got like
whatever.
15
I know,
real scenarios
I just, like,
I can tell
right,
you.
I, this is probably a good segue into the, no, this is actually great. Okay, segue into what we were going to talk about, my nightmare experience that I just had recently with a handyman versus contractor.
So, I knew we'd get back to it.
I've learned the hard way many times that you just have to have, you have to have licensed people do things that require a license 100%. To do. You have to. And I know it might be a little bit more expensive or whatever the case may be, but in the long run, no. So anyway, I had one recently and we had a pretty hefty buyer's response. I'm not going to lie to you. I had the buyer and it was one of those ones that kind of hurt me to send.
Yeah, like you were feeling it. Like you almost wanted to call the seller's agent and be like, right, look, right. This and is
I probably did.
I was going to say, I do that to you when they're over a lot.
So sorry, like here, you know.
Yeah. Do what you can.
So sent that list and then, and very plain. This was a client too that was a first time buyer.
I was going to say, it was a first time buyer.
She was one of those people too that had a lot of questions. Straight out of the gate, which is nothing wrong with questions, but there are some questions that I'm like, these are anxiety producing questions.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to give you any good answer right now, but also these circumstances have not occurred. Yes. So let's just move forward.
They're creating scenarios that may or may not like, even ever
what if a tree
thing?
Falls on the house while it's under contract?
I literally just...
Well,
I just that situation
like, what do we need to talk about that right now? Do we need to spend 30 minutes you know talking about them? What if a tree falls on the house?
This is so funny because this is a house in South
Island. Now you're terrified. You know?
And the house is 65 years old and a tree has never fallen on the house. So I was like, why are we even talking about a tree falling on the house when this house has been here for 65 years? No tree has fallen on this house. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they create those scenarios. Yes.
They
but there are some very realistic questions.
Good questions
that deserve a first-time home buyer.
She did ask me at one point, like, how do we know that they're going to do this work correctly? And at that point, and I'm like, well, that's why we ask for licensed individuals to do it. Because if an electrician comes to your house to do a repair, you're going to get an invoice.
That's
and
right.
It's going to be itemized. That's and it's right. going to have all of their information on it and contact. And like their work is going to be warranted to an extent. And so that gave her the comfort moving forward. Of, okay, I feel okay about this, you know? So we asked for, a lot of the stuff was very specifically stated, licensed plumber, licensed electrician, et cetera. And so the seller agreed, they wrote back and they on the seller's response, they agreed to do a handful of items and the buyer agreed that all that was good. So just like, I don't know, maybe like a couple weeks later, because it was kind of a longer contract, I'm following up on some of the repairs and she's telling me this is done, that's done, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, do you have some invoices that you can send me, you know, and the whole time I've been telling the listing agent, like, I'm sorry if I'm being over the top annoying about XYZ, like, I just need my client to be comfortable, you know.
I want to document it for her
and
proof,
right,
evidence.
Exactly. And so she then tells me that she doesn't have any like receipts or anything like that. And I'm like, okay. So what do you have? How can we know? Like some of this stuff was under the house, like pipes
right.
under the house, and like me and my client, like.
I mean, you ain't.
I'm not getting under the house right now.
Hands like, come
know?
On. You're not gonna get under the house. I mean, like,
look, I've gone under houses. Don't get it twisted.
I know, but you what? 6 months pregnant?
But
I mean, you ain't gonna get up under.
Right.
Would you even fit up under the house right now?
Nope. And so I'm like, we need something, you know. And so she had sent pictures. She'd sent some pictures of like a pipe that was repaired. One of them was like a pretty big deal. Like it was like a cast iron pipe that we actually had one at our house that was like this, that had rested on the ground for so long that like the soil and stuff had built up around it and there was like holes in it and rust.
Yeah.
And so the plumber was actually going to have to like dig that sucker up
and they replaced
remove
it, with,
it
like,
replace
PVC.
It with PVC.
Yeah.
So a picture was okay. Like we saw the PVC and that part of the pipe had been replaced. It was a nice big chunk of it. But I was still like, we need a plumber's name because if for some reason this isn't done right or whatever. And so anyway, over lots of very confusing back and forth texts and calls, she eventually tells me like they didn't use anybody licensed like for anything. And I'm like, okay, well, here's the thing. we asked for licensed individuals. You agreed on the seller's response that, you know, because at that point, here's the thing. Sellers don't have to use licensed individuals. They're not forced to do that. No. But the proper way for them to have addressed this would have been at the time of the seller's response, they respond and say, we'll do this, all these items, and we're going to hire our handyman to do it. Or mm-hmm. the seller's going to do it himself or whatever. I've written seller's responses like that.
Absolutely.
Where the seller's like, wait, what? No, I'll just change the air filter. I'm going to do this stuff.
And like, I'll even separate totally them out. I'll say, you know, like on the buyer's response or on a seller, whichever it is, I'll separate them out. These items to be done by a licensed contractor with evidence. I mean, a proof of receipt so that we have, they're insured, they're bonded, whatever. And then these items are going to be done by the seller themselves.
No such thing as too many details.
I just sent a
I'll do a separate page.
A seller's response that was two separate pages on a 125-page inspection, typed out Microsoft Word document, two full pages of detailed, because of this exact situation where, like, I've had people say, oh, the foundation's going to be repaired, and then they send pictures, but they sent pictures of four columns, and there were 26 columns. Well, guess what? The other 22 columns weren't repaired. There were no pictures of those. Well, I'm not getting up under the house, right? So we didn't know. I mean, this was a scenario that I called you about. You know, that, that was a lawsuit that happened and went down for 6 months, and then finally it got repaired, all because there was no proof of receipt that the actual repairs had been done, because I didn't get up under that house and I wasn't pregnant.
Right.
I just didn't get up under that house because not my job.
That's right.
But go ahead.
But so I'm going back and forth over the course of probably 2 or 3 days with this listing agent, just trying to figure out, why didn't you hire the contractors? First of all, why didn't you tell me from the beginning? But also, like, what do you have? Do you have anything more than these photos? Can you get me a thing? Because I've had handymen write up.
That's right.
You know, itemize invoices. And even though they're not insured and they don't technically have to do anything about it.
They still run a business and they still have a record. They still have clients. They still have history.
They want you to refer them. That's right. Want you to use them. They care. Like my handyman, at least, if there was a problem a week after they did a repair, they would come back and do it again. The people that I use. But all that to say, imagine if after every phone call I had with that listing agent, I called my buyer and was like, okay, I just talked to her. Yeah, so right now we don't have invoices, but I'm going to ask her, you know, if she can provide XYZ. Okay, I'll call you back. Hang up. Call back the listing agent. Hey, can you do this?
Did you spend just going back and forth just between?
Well, that's the thing is I didn't, because I would be like, okay, we're still obviously figuring some things out here.
And you're not going to share that information.
This brings me back to that thing of what information to share and when. And I feel like you and I are the same in that way, where we would just like jump the gun. Like, okay, well, if I don't call my seller, I told my seller I'd call her back with more information. Mm-hmm. And I have more information now. So I'm going to call her back with that information. But it's like,
We don't do that now. But we did in the beginning, because we thought that because an agent, a realtor is their agent, right? Mm-hmm. We cannot make decisions for them. It's our job to be their rep, to represent mm-hmm. them, right? But we can't do anything on their behalf, right? Mm-hmm. We're not their power of attorney. Most times, obviously, they have to make those decisions. So as their agent, we feel like we got to give them all that information and let them make that decision. Mm-hmm. Well, over the last couple of years, I have learned very, very through blood, sweat, and tears, like what you're talking about right now, when to share specific information. And I've learned specific personality types that I can't share any information with until I know. But I would do that. I would get so worked up, and then my personality would get in it, if that makes sense.
I want to share it.
That's right. My soul wants
Absolutely. To vent and tell them how rude this agent's being to me, but it's a completely unnecessary step.
So you end up getting to the bottom of it.
So we end up getting to the bottom of it, and that's when I have to then call my client and say, okay, here's the thing. They have done, this is what we have. They have done this work with a handyman.
Who did the work? I mean, no, not the person, but I'm saying, like, did a handyman end up doing it, or did the seller do it all himself?
A handyman.
Oh, okay.
A handyman.
Okay.
Did it, and so we were like, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I know that you don't you probably don't want to hear this, but I think the only thing that we can do to verify the repairs that matter, because here's the thing, there were repairs on there that a handyman could have very easily done. But I'm like, the stuff that matters, the plumbing and this and that, the only thing that we can do right now is have a reinspection. We're going to have to pay somebody to go under the house.
Well worth $125, even though, I mean, it sucks to have to do that.
And the seller had already spent, like, she did tell me that the seller had spent, like, $700 or $800 on the repairs. And, like, when she told me that, I was like, to replace that pipe alone.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just thinking.
It's a big old pipe.
Dang, no way it was $700 or $800 just like it's gonna be a lot just for that pipe. Exactly. I mean, that's probably $700 or $800. That was probably $500 or whatever.
Just because of the labor. It was like buried. I mean, we've had that literally same thing happen here.
But that seller probably got down there with like a spoon or something and dug it out himself.
It was somebody.
He was trying to save money, right?
Somebody. And so anyway, we get the inspector over there for the reinspection, and it's all bad. Like, nothing was, the pipe fittings were not the right size. So even though it looked great in the photo, when you turn the water on, it just everywhere. Spewed out.
Yep. So this is why a photo does not equate to an invoice from a licensed contractor who is insured. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't know. As our job as a realtor, it is obviously to advise our client to make sure that they get the best deal possible and the best service possible. But are you a licensed plumber? Are you a licensed electrician? Are you a licensed roofer? Mm-mm. Are you, you know, all those things. And so we can't know a lot of times without a professional who has years of experience, mm-hmm. who is well-respected in our industry or in our area as a professional in that industry, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. be able to check that. So I'm assuming you were able to go back to her.
And I even offered in the midst of everything, because she doesn't live here, the agent doesn't live here. I was like, if you need any help, like, I can set up all these, like, I'm a buyer's agent and I can refer you people. Like, I can tell you great plumbers that are great prices.
This is why you do not practice real estate when you are not in your own jurisdiction. I ain't trying to sell real estate in New Orleans.
I mean, you don't know who to hire.
Like, I don't know what their flood districts are. I don't know who their good contractors are. I don't know when you're dealing with houses that were built 150, 200 years ago that are sharing a wall. You know, mm-hmm. there's so many different so many different nuances mm-hmm. that have to do with different areas. I mean, if you're selling in a seaside town or a town, you know, that has a lot of different issues with things that we're not familiar with, mm-hmm. like in Shreveport-Bossier, if that makes sense. So this is why it is very important to get a referral partner mm-hmm. in whatever town.
Just refer it out. It's like right now,
I mean,
like,
you can still check on it, everything, but
I want to sell you a house in Ruston right now. Absolutely. Because I'm so poor. I don't know anything about that market.
Right.
I don't know anything about where that is. I mean, not where that is, but I don't know anything about that area. Right. I don't know it.
But it's better to, okay, here's the thing. I used to tell people this all the time when I was practicing law. They would, when you're an attorney, it's not like you're specialized almost like a doctor. Like, you're a doctor, a medical doctor. You could be a family doctor. You could be a podiatrist, a foot doctor. You could be a brain surgeon, right? But you're not, this is the thing about attorneys, like, you're not going to ask a family law practitioner to go and negotiate a buyout for a multi-million-dollar company if they primarily do divorces and custody, right? Mm-hmm. So your area of expertise matters. Yes. And a lot of times people get money hungry because they want all the money from that scenario, but they're not knowledgeable enough to actually do their client the best service. that they deserve. And I think that's where I've even had to take a step back and be like, okay, I've dabbled in commercial a little bit, but I'm not an expert in commercial. I'm learning a lot more about commercial, but there have been so many commercial clients that I have referred to other commercial agents who I know have a great reputation and are very familiar with our commercial industry here, our commercial real estate industry, and I have felt 100% comfortable with the type of service, because as a referral, you can still follow up with that client, still make sure that your buyer is receiving the type of service
that
they expect.
If they're not comfortable telling, like, their agent that they're not having a great experience, they can come to you and say, hey, that agent you referred me to,
and you can
still get a referral commission off of it, but not have the pressure
care of making sure that you're not providing the type A amazing level of type of service that you should be providing if you're not an expert in that specific area.
Yeah.
Because I don't know everything. I'm not an expert in every area of real estate, but I can say that if I don't know the answer, I know who does.
Yeah.
And that's where your pride has to take a step back a lot of times. Cause like, I want to sell a house in Ruston right now too. I'd be happy with that, but I don't know that market like I do here, you know? And same thing with like New Orleans or Lafayette even. So when you ended up showing all of the re-inspection stuff to the seller's agent,
it was so bad. I was like, the only way this is going to work is if y'all hire these professionals. So anyway, we ended up getting it worked out. The plumber that came out behind the handyman was just like, oh my gosh, but ended up costing like $1,600 or $1,700. So on top of the like $800 a seller already paid. So it bit the seller too. He would have spent less money if he would have just
gotten a professional contractor
to do it, because he didn't have to go back and correct a mistake, several mistakes.
And
it was just one of those situations where everybody would have been in a better position. It was a great learning experience too, of like when to share what information, when not to share what information, while still protecting your client. Obviously you don't want to hide anything from your client, but you know, just because I'm stressed out doesn't mean I need to call and stress my client out. Just because I'm worried about a deal falling through doesn't mean I need to call and tell my client that I'm worried this deal is going to fall through. That's not going to help anything. All we can do is get to a place where we feel like we're finally at an area where we have a conclusion. The conclusion is that they hired a handyman, and not only that, but they will not provide any sort. He won't provide the handyman's name. He won't provide the handyman's contact. I've tried to check several different boxes to just try to reach a point where my buyer would probably be at least a little bit more satisfied. Thank God they wouldn't provide all that stuff though, because if they had provided an invoice from Handyman Joe down the street with his name and his address, and here's a list of stuff he did, we wouldn't have gone back behind it.
Yeah, you wouldn't have felt comfortable having to reinspect that.
Yeah, we would have probably been okay.
Absolutely.
Not going back behind him. But because of that, you know, everything always works out.
Well, there's multiple scenarios, I think, multiple learning experiences that you can take away from that scenario. One is huge difference, obviously, between a licensed contractor and a handyman, and when to ask for it to be a licensed contractor versus a handyman, all those types of scenarios. And that comes from wisdom and experience from just doing deal after deal after deal. And being in real estate as long as you have and doing as many transactions as you have. But secondly, the mindfulness aspect of it, to relate it back to what we were talking about earlier, you knew to take a step back. Whereas in the beginning, years ago, when we first got into real estate, we were like, we got to share all the information right now.
Screenshotting. Yes. Look at this.
Look at this. She said this and he said that. And then I called this person. I would even do that sometimes. I'd be like, well, the seller's agent said this about the plumbing. So I called a plumber and the plumber said this, this, and this. And then I would call. And it was like, that dude had nothing to do with this situation.
Right.
So mindfulness.
I just added more tasks.
Peace is such a big deal in this industry. And so to relate back to that, but also too, you had the self-awareness or the experience to take a step back in yourself and know, I can't share this with this first time home buyer. I need to get some more information, gather all of the evidence, gather all of the clue, whatever it is that I needed to prove to her what was going on or him. Mm-hmm. And it enabled you to make sure, did the deal get to the closing table?
It did.
Yay!
It did. And
it's always a win.
Yeah. One Woo-hoo! Of those. Yeah. It got to the closing table. Thank you, Lord.
You got paid?
Got paid.
Is the buyer happy with the house?
We did actually have a couple things that were going to be taking place after the fact, which was the only thing she was nervous about. But because they were two companies that I trust wholeheartedly, that I have a good relationship with, she trusted me wholeheartedly because I watched her back, and she knew that I was watching her back, and she knew that I had her best interests at heart. So she trusted me to say, hey, look, because she really needed to close it in December. That was the thing. We would have just waited. We would have waited till January, honestly, to let all that stuff take place. But she needed to close it in December for her own, like, she needed...
Interest, all the things, extending the rate, and all that stuff. That matters too, and we can talk about that in another episode of Sold It Sister, because knowing what's best for your client and being able to weigh the pros and cons of a situation. Yeah. Like I had a similar situation where the client was getting married. Unfortunately, if they were to get married, it would have completely you know, change. So we were in a time period, right? And we had to weigh the pros and the cons of whether or not it was go ahead and move forward with that specific contract or wait until afterwards. And so I think that that industry knowledge matters too, because it's our job to give them the best experience, obviously, but to protect them from all the pitfalls that can happen in a real estate transaction, because they are relying on us to guide them, relying on our expertise, because we have seen so many negative scenarios and we've seen people get screwed over and we've seen them lose. And it's our job. We can't always do that, right? Because we can't control everything, but it's our job to give them the best advice and that let them make the most informed decision regarding whatever situation it is. But you knew that a handyman versus a licensed contractor is not the same.
It was not going to cut it. It was not going to cut it. And, but yeah, so because of the, it closed and there was still some work to be done. And a lot, I feel like a lot of the time as agents, we make promises and then we struggle with following through.
Well, I'm the queen of
so
that.
That's really important to, I mean, I've done it a million times, you know, but you know, them
I'm
trusting,
trying not
like
to do
you,
it,
but... you telling them, you know, okay, I know we've closed this deal, but like, I'm with until these repairs are complete. Like, I need to be informed. I want to know because I can call this company and be like, what, you scheduled this on this day, you didn't show up, X, Y, whatever the case may be. So anyway,
look, the main things to take away from this episode is mindfulness is important. And if you don't protect the or if you don't limit the chaos in your life when you're dealing with so many different personalities in one real estate transaction. You've got the buyer, the buyer's agent, the seller's agent, and then you have different contractors coming in. And let's be honest, how many times do we end up with first-time home buyer's daddy and then first-time home buyer's mama? First-time home buyer's uncle that lives in New York but has bought 10 houses and is investing in real estate so he know all the things about Louisiana real estate. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with a lot of personalities. So I think it's important to practice mindfulness and to meditate and to take the time out before you start communicating with your client until you have all the evidence or all the information that you need to have. So lesson hard learned, right, friend? Like we learned that the hard way. So I do think, though, on the next episode of Sold It Sister, we should talk about roofs because I have some good roof stories that I want to tell you.
Sounds good to me. Talk to you soon.
Bye.